Welcome to the Anabu AI blog in audio. Today we're covering an article that should be on every business owner's radar right now. It's called AI Data Center War: The Cloud Risk Every Business Must Address by Brett Allegre Wood on the Anabu AI blog.
And I want to say up front, when I first saw the title, I assumed this was a tech story, but it's very much a business story.
It is. The core argument is this: the physical infrastructure that powers AI, the actual data centers, the buildings, the electricity, has become a geopolitical battleground. If your business uses the cloud for anything, you are caught in the middle.
And we've all been told for years that the cloud is basically a utility, like turning on a tap. Brett's point is that assumption is now dangerously out of date.
Right. So what is actually happening? In the U.S., Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have introduced what they're calling the AI Data Center Moratorium Act, a complete freeze on the construction of any new large-scale AI data centers across the entire country.
Which is extraordinary. And it's not just two politicians. More than 100 local communities across the U.S. have already put their own moratoriums in place. 12 states are pushing statewide bans. Electricity prices in parts of the U.S. are already spiking because of the demand these facilities are pulling.
And the bill goes further than a domestic freeze. It proposes to ban the export of AI computing infrastructure to any country that doesn't have similar safeguards in place.
So if your data sits in a U.S.-owned data center, a political decision in Washington, one you had zero input on, could cut off your access. That's the sovereignty risk in plain terms.
Exactly. And Australia is taking a different approach. Not a ban, but a new national framework that says data center operators have to prove what the government calls a social license to operate. Industry Minister Tim Ayers was direct. Australia is open for business, but only the kind that puts Australia's national interest first.
The framework judges operators on five things: supporting Australia's national interest, transitioning to renewable energy, using water sustainably, investing in local jobs and skills, and contributing to Australian research and innovation. That is a real shift from the old playbook of cheap power and tax breaks.
And the numbers behind it are serious. Australian data center capacity is expected to more than double, from 1,350 megawatts in 2024 to 3,100 megawatts by 2030. That requires an estimated $26 billion Australian in new investment.
The government wants that investment to benefit Australia, not just foreign tech company balance sheets. Fair enough. But there are gaps in the framework, too.
There are. On-premises data centers, the ones businesses run themselves, account for roughly 80% of local compute capacity in Australia. The framework excludes them entirely.
And those older facilities are up to 67% less energy efficient than purpose-built ones. So the framework has teeth, but it's leaving most of the actual infrastructure unaddressed. That creates uncertainty for every business relying on this stuff.
And uncertainty has a cost. Both of these regulatory shifts, supply constraints in the US and compliance costs in Australia, get passed to businesses as higher cloud bills. The era of cheap, abundant cloud computing is ending.
So what do you actually do? Because I don't want this to be just a be worried conversation.
Now, Brett lays out five concrete actions.
The first is an audit. For every system your business relies on, document where the data is physically stored, who owns the data center, what country the parent company is in, what the regulatory environment looks like there, and what your contingency is if access disappears. Most business owners I speak to can't answer those questions, which is Brett's whole point. If you can't answer them, you're flying blind.
The second step is identifying your sovereignty exposure. Which data sets are most sensitive? Which systems would halt your business if they became inaccessible? Those are your highest risk dependencies, and you address those first.
Then there's the hybrid cloud approach. Public cloud for everyday workloads, local or on-premises infrastructure for the sensitive data. Brett makes the point that repatriating sensitive data to a local Australian-owned provider may not be as expensive as most people assume.
And redundancy. If your entire operation depends on a single cloud provider in a single jurisdiction, one political decision could put you out of business.
You spread that risk before you're forced to. The fifth step is checking your regulatory exposure across every market you operate in. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority is already using AI to speed up its own processes and expanding into new jurisdictions. Regulators are moving faster than most businesses expect. The action I would take this week is that first audit. Just sit down and map where your data actually lives. Most businesses genuinely have no idea, and that gap is the vulnerability. For me, it's the sovereignty exposure question. Work out which systems are truly business critical if access disappears tomorrow. That's where you focus first, before anything else. You can read the full article at anabu.ai. And if you want this kind of thinking applied to your own business, Brett offers a free AI audit. You can book that at anabu.ai as well. The AI data center war is just beginning. The time to audit, diversify, and get your data sovereignty sorted is now, not when you're forced to.